KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. 6 years after Shell and other companies bought oil and gas leases in the Chukchi Sea, a ruling from a federal judge is halting any drilling on those Arctic leases and ordering a review to determine whether the leases should have been sold in the first place. The Alaska Dispatch reports U.S. District Court Judge Ralph Beastline ordered Thursday that the Interior Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM, complete the new analysis of more than $2.5 billion worth of leases sold and submit their findings for court approval before any new Chukchi Sea drilling is allowed. Beastline's order backs up a January ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that found initial environmental studies done before the 2008 sales were inadequate and the impacts of developing the leases for oil production were understated. Suspending drilling in the leases may only be a formality, though, as the only company that had been considering any 2014 drilling was Shell Oil. The Dutch oil company dropped those plans in January after the Ninth Circuit Court's decision. The only oil industry activities planned this year in federal Arctic waters, according to BOEM's website, are underwater and sea surface surveys by British oil company BP. They're planned at the Liberty Prospect in the Beaufort Sea. State lawmakers are still hoping to wrap up their work and end their extended session by the end of the week. Conference committee meetings on education and the Kinnickarm Bridge crossing were planned for Friday morning, with floor sessions scheduled to follow. The 90-day session was supposed to end Sunday, but lawmakers were unable to reach agreement on education packages that sent the session into overtime. On Wednesday, shortly after a tentative education deal was announced, the House failed to agree to Senate-passed changes for financing the bridge project. Another outstanding issue is the capital budget, which is typically one of the last pieces of legislation passed. Alaska telecom giant GCI is facing a lawsuit filed by customers in Bethel along the Kuskokwim. The suit alleges that the communications company has been ripping off customers in the YK Delta. The complaint was filed in the Bethel courthouse on Tuesday. A lawyer representing those behind the lawsuit says the allegations against GCI are over poor quality of their data plans and cell phone service, despite advertising that both are fully functional. Four plaintiffs are currently listed in the suit, and they allege that GCI has been advertising their 3G cellular network in rural Alaska and specifically along the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, regardless of the fact that their smartphone and data plans are not supported by sufficient infrastructure. The suit alleges GCI's data almost never works and that dropped call rates are often between 50 and 100%. Attorneys bringing the suit say they tried to turn it into a class action lawsuit that could affect thousands of customers in the YK Delta. A spokesperson for GCI was unavailable for comment on the pending suit yesterday. And Anchorage-based South Central Foundation announced a settlement with the Indian Health Services over contract payments that at $96 million represents the largest IHS settlement in history. Lloyd Miller is one of the attorneys who brought suit against the IHS on behalf of tribes. Miller says after the U.S. Supreme Court in 2005 ruled the federal government was liable for underfunding tribal contracts, tribes filed hundreds of suits, but the IHS still refused to pay or settle. That's until the Supreme Court reaffirmed their ruling in 2012.
That signaled the beginning of a long and very arduous settlement process, because by late 2012, the agency was facing claims by over 200 tribes and intertribal organizations totaling in excess of $2 billion.
Miller says no claims were settled until last year, but he says in the last 3 or 4 months, the logjam of disagreement over how to proceed with settlements has broken. Other payments in Alaska have happened in recent weeks, and Miller says the Yukon-Kuskokwim settlement in December was the second largest behind South Central.
Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation settled in December for $39 million. And also settlements have been achieved for the Manilik Corporation, the Ketchikan Indian Corporation, the Arctic Slope Native Association, and the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation. All of those have now been resolved, and there are many more in active negotiations right now.
Miller says the money will have significant impacts for Alaska's tribes. And how accessible is health care to rural Alaskans with disabilities, and what differences will it make in their well-being? That's the topic of a focus group tonight in Nome. Amanda Cooper is the Alaska Health and Disability Program Manager who's leading the session tonight in Nome.
Adult Alaskans with disabilities, they do experience significant disparities in nearly every core health area. For example, Alaskans with disabilities have a higher prevalence rate of obesity, a higher rate of tobacco use, a higher rate of inactivity, and a higher rate of diabetes.
Cooper says Alaskans with disabilities feel healthcare services are limited to them, and they also show a lack of preventative screenings. But this information comes from data collected in urban areas like Anchorage and the Mat-Su. The Alaska Health and Disability Program is seeking a more statewide perspective to close the gaps in health disparities for individuals with disabilities, and now they're coming to rural places like Nome to hold on-the-ground surveys.
What we're really hoping to gain is firsthand knowledge from people with disabilities and their family members on healthcare accessibility in rural Alaska, and what are the challenges and what are the barriers that they face receiving healthcare in rural Alaska or in any part of Alaska.
The group held a session in Kotzebue earlier this week and is planning additional meetings in Healy and Petersburg. Tonight in Nome, the focus group is gathering in the City Hall Council chambers from 4 to 5:30 for individuals with disabilities, and again from 6 to 7:30 for family members. The 2014 statewide Native Youth Olympics are going on now through Saturday in Anchorage, but last week in Gamble was the qualifying tournament for the Bering Strait School District. Athletes from 13 of the region's communities competed.
All these games, they were designed by our ancestors to develop muscles that were required for survival out in the ice, in the sea, in the open ocean, or on the tundra.
Marjorie Talbone is a former NYO champion who now coaches in Nome. The 10 events that make up the NYO tournament are drawn from traditional subsistence hunting practices. And as subsistence has changed in Western Alaska, so too have the events. They fit into an ongoing conversation about how to incorporate traditional values into contemporary times.
We can't be thinking that, oh, because it's not in a sod house, or oh, because you're not wearing traditional clothing, that is, what you're doing isn't traditional. We have these amazing places where we have gyms, we have internet and technology, and we need to take advantage of that and adapt our culture to what is in our society now.
For more on the Bering Strait School District's tournament in Gamble and what it means for the ongoing conversation about traditional values, tune into Profiles after the 9 o'clock weather this morning and again after the 6 o'clock weather this evening. You can also follow the latest in the 44th Annual Native Youth Olympic Games online, as 57 schools across Alaska participate. The schedule of events is posted on the Cook Inlet Tribal Council website at citci.org. That's citci.org. And residents of the Seward Peninsula may have felt a bit of a jolt last night. A magnitude 4.3 earthquake struck just 5 miles from Teller and Brevig Mission around 10:40 last night. Nomites also felt the shake about 64 miles away. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says the earthquake originated about a mile below the surface near the Peterborough Creek. The quake comes after a powerful 5.6 earthquake, and dozens of powerful aftershocks rocked northwest Alaska near Noatak last Friday and through the weekend. The Earthquake Information Center in Fairbanks says the latest quake near Teller and Brevig Mission don't appear related to those larger quakes farther north. Taking a look at the price of gold this hour in New York, gold prices were up $7.20, trading at $1,302.10 an ounce. Silver was up 4 cents to $19.79 an ounce. Zinc was at 93 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is still on time, expected to leave Anchorage 10 minutes after 10 o'clock and arrive in Nome around 11:41 this morning. It's unofficially 39 degrees outside the KNOM station, 11 minutes past 9 o'clock.